Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the family of God, and as we keep our view of Him, we can live a life and a lifestyle of praise. What a difference it makes. Now, there are some events that just reach the pinnacle, and they're remembered for a long time. Most fade away rapidly. In fact, we just came through the Super Bowl, right? And next to the World Series and the World Cup, it's about as a programmed sports event. Sometimes you might say up to a billion people are at least conscious of it, if not engaged in watching it. So when you go back in time and you hear about Favre or Aaron Rodgers, you had wished that it might be our turn for the green and gold again. But it wasn't, right? You already know the thing's been done, and the perfect storm has arisen for the GOAT number 12, now from Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady will go down in history. They call him the greatest, right? In 2016, at Thanksgiving, there was sort of an episode that gave tribute at Lambeau to two great quarterbacks. They brought him out, he walked out, and with his jovial style, Brett Favre was on the field, and there was nonstop applause. And then they brought him out on a golf cart, Bart Starr joined him. But it doesn't take long to realize their glory has faded. You know, Bart's getting old, Bart Starr was now gone. Brett Favre, well, he might think he's a sportscaster, you know. And so things change, fading glory. And it happens the same way, doesn't it? Even in entertainment. Take Star Wars, for instance. And I was hoping I could have Jason here because he knows a lot more about it than me. So if I get anything wrong. Star Wars, 1977. It's Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia, right? And when you see them now, Mark Hamill, he's doing commercials. Does he look the same? Only in things like Mandalorian, where they back, you know, they bring him back, but they've mastered his image to make him look young. And Carrie Fisher is already, like Bart, gone. And you can see the fading glory if you see any of the films with Harrison Ford. Is that really Han Solo? And it moves into nature, doesn't it? As the world turns, things can be destroyed. They can return, but they'll never quite be the same. You go back to your hometown where you grew up and you look like it's just not the way I remembered it. Along the coast, you may not realize that about a decade ago, there was a massive hurricane down along below Cancun going all the way down to Belize. It wiped out the mangroves, which is like their ecosystem of life forms. And it really damaged the whole coastline. Or go to New Orleans, and it's a flood. Or you can have a tornado in Nebraska or Missouri or Oklahoma, right? When I first got to Lubbock, Texas, the northern side of the whole city had been wiped out by a tornado. And if you think about these massive events, they don't hit Wisconsin so much. We just get piles of snow and a lot of cold. It kind of reminds you, doesn't it, a little bit of Pottersville and It's a Wonderful Life? Man, where's the glory? It's faded. So let's take a look. Turn to page 9, and let's see what happens when we go on the mountain. Seeing His glory, we live a lifestyle of praise. There are two things. We can and we must. We can understand the fading glory of our world. I'm going to turn just to the last two verses of Psalm 148. So I'm taking a little different perspective of the transfiguration through these words. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And that'll be a word that we'll look at. He has raised up for his people a horn, another of the critical words, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart, praise the Lord. We have a tendency to look at the better days, don't we? We always think that things are going to get better. Last week I said better tomorrows. You know, but in actuality, scientists and observers will make this statement that the world all across the universe is tending towards disorder. They actually have a term for that. You know, it's called entropy, the tendency towards disorder and chaos. You remember how when it is green out, if you don't tend your lawn, that it turns into weeds? Where is that lawn anyway? It's, you know, under 3.5 feet of snow right now. But the concept is that things move to a fading glory. It's kind of hard to deal with in life. And you might have three responses. The first is to ignore it. It's not happening, right? It's like the guy that goes in a ditch and he says, I'm not in a ditch. He keeps driving. We'd think he's crazy, right? But people do. People do ignore what is happening in their own aging. Maybe it's such a tender subject with them that they can't even talk to the senior citizens. They can't even be around somebody who's getting older because it bothers them. Or maybe it's when they look in the mirror, the first gray hair, I'm looking, gray hair. I mean, when it shows up, you might be 25 years or 30 years old, and there it is. And you're at the hairdresser, and she plucks it and says, here, look at this. All of a sudden, reality sinks in, and you're trying to ignore it, okay? Or you can cling to your youth. And some people in this generation especially try so hard to extend it out. I guess they try to make themselves look younger than they really are. I watched one of my colleagues. He wore facial hair like me, and he decided to color his beard. After watching him, I decided I would never do that. And if you're not going to color this, you might as well not color this, because then you really see the difference, don't you? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm about 30 years plus beyond those first grays. You know, if you cling to things that were yesterday, and we've all got high school friends like that, they never quite grew up. And then there's perhaps the concept of get it while you can. You flee away from the fading glory and you try to do everything. You become consumed with accomplishing everything and anything. It's a compulsion, no matter what the consequences are, no matter how right or wrong it is. And that's kind of a new fad in this generation. I got my bucket list. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. I'm going to get it done. The bucket list or bust. But it's safe to say those things don't change the real source issue. In fact, there's a different solution for us at the top of the mountain. The problem is that there is an entropy of our person. Our bodies aren't just breaking down, but because of sin, we are wearing out. The reality of death is encroaching on every one of us. And that's a hard subject to face. So when we come to the mountain, what we're going to discover is a different perspective. Our sin separates us from God. And in a very short while, Jesus is going to pay that horrific price, isn't he? He's going to go to a cross. And he is innocent but treated guilty. He is condemned. He is stricken. He is smitten. And in a week, we're going to start looking at the journey of his suffering. But there was a reason for that. The reason is this. That the life given to these disciples for a moment shows the contrast. He is going to show them a tiny slice of heaven. so that they can get through the difficult days. The angels and Moses and Elijah are there for Jesus to encourage him. But the disciples are observers, aren't they? They're just mystified, blown away. Peter doesn't even know what to say, so he says, let's build shelters and stay here. Well, call it a mountaintop experience. But that is what happens when a person begins to live a lifestyle of praise. You get more of the mountain and less of the valley. A lifestyle means it's continuous, it's ongoing, it's repeated. And this is one of the secrets of dealing with this harsh world, is to have praise on your lips and in your heart. You know, it had always been true. It had always been there that Jesus was the Son of God, because you could hear it from the Father, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Same words at the baptism, right? And the angels at the arrival of Jesus 30 years earlier had announced his coming, glory to God in the highest. So it had always been there, except that now the curtain is pulled back and the disciples see him as he really is. There's a reason that this occurs in this, that the state of humiliation is that Jesus put it aside. The glory's always there, but he puts it aside so that he can willingly and voluntarily step into the human position and to be treated the way we should have, to receive the punishment and to conquer the control of sin. So in that, we are experiencing the fading glory. You look at him and the disciples are going to see him arrested, taken away, mistreated, and they're going to wonder, is this how this is supposed to end? And the answer is no. So we must focus on the eternal splendor that comes along with him. He is going to turn this all around. Here now we look a little broader at Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the heavens in the heights above, all his angels, praise him all his heavenly hosts. So essentially this is asking all of creation to join in. And while we don't always see it all as one happening, this is why we worship. This is why we try to concentrate daily on what God is doing. Because the natural response of this creation is to honor the Creator. He'll go on and he'll say, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. It's a mere reflection of what will be coming in eternity. Because, see, the world around us is suffering because of human sin. The choice made by Adam and Eve devastated the world. Romans 8 says, it's groaning under the weight of human sin. They're suffering with us, yet glimmers. In a month or two, a robin will land on the top of your house, and it'll be listening for a worm down there, but then it'll sing. And that's its natural expression of praise. If only we could gather more from how the birds and the animals praise God. He'll say that there's a hint of the exaltation to come. Kings of the earth and all the rulers on earth, young men, maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. His splendor is above the earth and heaven. But what about us humans? There is something that the lifestyle of praise leads to. If you can get up in the morning and be thankful and genuinely praise God, even if you're situation is difficult, you are asking God to be your God and you're trusting him. And it is amazing how when we do that, there is a freedom that washes across us. To seek peace and pursue it is exactly that, to give praise to God in any and all circumstances. And we learn that first from Jesus and then from the apostle as he describes here what already has been accomplished. He has raised up for his people a horn. Now, when I was a child, I always thought of the horn section. The horn, it sounds full forlorn, right? The trumpets and the trombones, that's because the first horns were actual animal horns hollowed out, and you'd blow them. But that's not the reference here. This is like the horn of a rhinoceros. Call it an 18-wheeler on four legs coming down at you. If he's coming with that rhino horn right at your chest, what do you want? You need to get out of its way because it's going to land all of his weight into one little focal point on your body. And that is not going to turn out well, right? It is powerful. I know that from personal experience. I was raised in Nebraska. One of my cousins actually was an owner of a feedlot, and he died at the horn of one of his bulls. Of power. And so that's the suggestion, that we retreat to the power of Jesus, the salvation brought on by the horn. On our other altar, you may not remember, but there are four horns. There's crosses, X's on the edge of the altar, which was a place of safety. When somebody was being chased or they were under duress, they would run to the altar of God and grab onto the horns of the altar for the power of God to be on their side. And so, as our horn, Jesus is the foundation of our praise. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And he uses this in a very real way by calling upon Israel. Israel is the term for he wrestles with God. And this reminds me of how we hold on. Not with gripping fear, but with our arms up and our mouths smiling and singing praise. Let me illustrate. When I was a child, you grow up and you think your dad knows everything until you're about 16, and then he gets old somehow. Actually, it's you. And my dad was a kind of fearless dad. He was used to all kinds of machinery, and it wasn't the size of Six Flags, but we went to a state fair and got on to a roller coaster, and my dad didn't hold on. My brother and I were like this because mom was holding on. She started screaming before it even started moving. But dad just sat there like this and smiled. And then when it went over the first hump, he put his hand up, and he was grinning. And my dad didn't always show that kind of glee. This is like, wow, dad's having fun, and we're gripping on here. Do you see the difference? It is how when you are filled with praise and you're looking in the right place, like the disciples on the top of the mountain, they're like, whoa, is this cool? Riding the roller coaster of life, and you're going to have really difficult times. You're going to see that in Christ's exaltation, there's a road that goes beyond the cross, and it comes out of a tomb. The Son of God, who brings his sunshine into our lives. It is there by the surrogate experience of being with Peter, James, and John that we get a glimpse of heaven. We get to know Jesus really does have things in his hand, and we need to trust that. And today, perhaps, as we have come together and assembled, as we listen to the Word of God, maybe Psalm 148 is most appropriate to take us to a new level, a lifestyle, continuous, daily praise of God. And then maybe he'll give us the freedom to put aside the pressure of society and culture and start taking things one day at a hand and put our arms up and say, Lord, take us on the ride. We're with you. And we trust you. That kind of lifestyle is the kind God has in store for us as we trust him, as we see his glory, and as we lift up our hearts in praise to him. Amen.